Kyle, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks, Tony.
Did you get any sleep last night?
Oh, I got a few hours, but it was a late night. We just had a lot of conference committees yesterday, and, you know, 16, I think that's a record. I don't think you're ever going to beat that.
Well, talk about negotiations. Before we dive into what happened yesterday and what may happen today, our staff here wants to know what MIRS stand for, M-I-R-S. Where did you get that name?
Well, it's an old name. It's Michigan Information and Research Service. And this went back to the 60s when there was more of a need for people to have a digest of what was happening at the Capitol on a daily basis. And so we did more about, now you have it in the House Journal and the Senate Journal, but an exact breakdown of what was happening in the session every single day. And so that's why the name was Michigan Information Research Service. And now our main, thrust of the news is our daily newsletter, where we publish news at the Capitol, like a newspaper every day, except it's online and it's subscription-based. And so it's been kind of a transition, but we've never really changed the name. So instead of Michigan Information and Research Service, we're just called MIRS now.
Interesting when we talk about the budget and education. I had the speaker, Jace Bulger, on the program earlier this morning. We had Richard Hamel on, who's the House Minority Leader. And my first question to both of them was, if we are trying to make this state better by educating people more, keeping those educated people here in the state more, which could create more jobs and bring more jobs to the state, why are we cutting education? No one could give me an answer except to say it is what it is and we got to make cuts.
Yeah, well, the reason is they don't want to raise taxes. I mean, that's the real reason. I mean, neither of the parties want to raise taxes because they don't feel like it's politically popular. I mean, look at what they did there by eliminating some income tax exemptions for seniors and for people with children, and the earned income tax credit got nicked. I mean, and that was labeled a tax increase, and the Republicans are afraid that they're going to get whacked at the ballot box for that. So, I mean, if they're scared about that, just think if they were to raise the income tax, or they were to meddle with the sales tax in some way, or raise fees or something else in order to, provide money for education and to prevent cuts to cities and universities and to the poor through the clothing allowance and those types of things. I mean, they think they would get destroyed at the ballot box, and they don't think that that's what the voters who put them there wanted. They believe that the voters who put them in office want cuts made to the budgets. They don't want tax increases, and so that's kind of really the answer. They are cutting education because they don't want to raise taxes.
Let's talk about welfare. It's going to be a little bit harder to stay on welfare. It's been thought that there are too many people who count on that as a source of income, and perhaps it keeps them unmotivated to get out there and find a job. What's your take on that new law?
Yeah, this is going to be a stricter time limit. That a lifetime limit will only have you on welfare for 48 months or 4 years out of your life, period, and that's it, if you're an able-bodied adult. And you know, the idea is that we're trying to get people who have been sponging off the system and trying to get around the system to stay on welfare as long as humanly possible. And we've already had some limitations on it in the past. Republicans have tightened it now with this new law. They think they're going to save about $70 million or something like that. And the thrust is to try and get people to work. You know, that's an easy thing to say, but you know, it's a tougher thing in this economy when, you know, unemployment is still around 10%. And not only that, I mean, that's not even really figuring in the people who are underemployed. You know, the people who have jobs that are, you know, I don't want to say beneath them, but you know, that they're overqualified for. You know, so. It's going to be a tough thing to pull off, I think.
Kyle, university funding is going to be cut by 15%. Here we go again with taking another hit at education when it's thought it can make our state better.
You know, and the reason why they target, you know, there's a couple areas that they always target for cuts, and one of them is higher education. And the reason why they do that is because they figure, A, these universities have all sorts of waste and stuff that we don't know about, and then, B, they think that, Well, if you can't meet your costs, well, you're just going to raise tuition. And then C, they think, you know, some of these universities, like the University of Michigan, have these huge trust funds. And they're like, hey, you know, we've had to dip into our rainy day. You know, you universities, why don't you go ahead and dip into your trust funds? You know? And so, I mean, all those things kind of compile up together. And then the universities say, well, you know, look, I mean, these are public universities, and yet very, you know, a decreasing number of tax dollars and our public money is actually going to it. You know, before all these budget cuts started happening right around, you know, 2000, something like that, about 60% of public universities' budget came from tax dollars, and now we're getting to a point where it's almost only 20%. I mean, those are the kind of cuts that we're seeing. So, you know, they're getting kind of frustrated. They're, I mean, one university president joked during this process about, you know, what's the point of being public? We're almost private now, you know, and yet they're trying to put more strings on the universities at a time when they're cutting them. So I can see the frustration from their standpoint.
Let's talk about the many menagerie of meetings that were going on yesterday. Republicans, Democrats in the Senate, in the House, trying to find resolution for a lot of items dealing with the budget.
Yeah, and, you know, for your listeners, I mean, they may find all of this somewhat boring, but it's kind of more of a process thing. You know, there's 16 state departments or 16, like, individual budgets that encompass the entire budget that starts on October 1. And in order to get final resolution on what's exactly in these budgets, and I'm talking about the fine details, I'm not talking about kind of like the overarching, you know, agreements that were reached last week, leaders from the House and the Senate on these individual budgets get together in something called a conference committee. So there's a conference committee on agriculture and a conference committee on natural resources and one on transportation and, you know, on and on. Well, usually these things are spread out throughout a week or 2 weeks or whatever. But for the first time, they've actually scheduled them all on top of each other as a way to get this all done by May 31st, which is what Rick Snyder said he wants the budget done by. And in order to make this schedule work, they put them all back-to-back from 7:45 to about 5 o'clock yesterday. And, you know, I, for one, didn't think they could pull it off. I mean, I've just seen too many conference committees go awry because of a variety of issues. You know, a new thing pops up and or, you know, there's a printing error or, you know, whatever. But I got to hand it to Senator Roger Kahn over in, on the Senate Appropriations side. He pulled it off. You know, there were a couple speed bumps with a couple budgets, but they got them all through yesterday. And Randy Richardville said yesterday, May 31st is going to happen. It is going to get passed. And it's really a miracle. You know, we had our intern looking at when is the last time this has actually happened, that the budget is actually going to get completed by June 1. And what we were able to find is they were able to pull off something similar in 1981, but there were still some outstanding issues. And then Bill Ballinger from Inside Michigan Politics went back even further and said the best he could come up with was 1964. Is the last time they were able to get the budget done that quick. That is absolutely amazing, especially when you consider, you know, this is a tough budget, these are tough financial times, and, you know, two out of the three budgets prior went all the way up to October 1 and beyond.
So, Kyle, what's going to happen, Kyle, what's going to happen today? Anything going to get resolved?
Yeah, so what's going to happen today? Now that all these conference committees met and have approved the final, you know, the final version of these budgets, the Senate is going to put its stamp on them. I mean, this is all now, all the negotiations are done now. I mean, the conference committees have adopted everything that's going to be in the budget, and now the Senate's just going to put their big stamp on it and move them on over to the House. That's what we're looking at. The Senate approved five budgets yesterday. The ones that came out of conference committee very early in the morning. And now they're just going to do the last 11 that were done later in the day. And then the House are going to combine all these budgets into two, they call them omnibus bills, but they're going to do that on Thursday. I mean, this is kind of an interesting point, too. You know, the House is up in next year. I mean, they're two-year terms. And there's some concern about putting a budget or votes on individual budgets because they don't want some of their members to vote on some of these individual budgets. They think that they're politically toxic. So they roll them all up into one big bill. They call it an omnibus. And they say, you're just going to vote on this one bill. And that way there's only one vote on the budget, and it's done and over with. It's kind of a political maneuver. In fact, it is a political maneuver. I can't say it's really the greatest public policy, but, you know, it's what they've decided to do, and that's what they're going to be doing on Thursday.
Thanks so much, Kyle. Interesting times at the state capitol. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. I hope I didn't bore everyone out there with these technical details, but this is where we're at right now in the process. Okay.